In certain places, we may meet with wild beasts, or with men who are more destructive than any beasts. Floods or fires will cause us loss, and we cannot change this order of things. But what we can do is to acquire stout hearts, worthy of good men, thereby courageously enduring change and placing ourselves in harmony with nature. And nature moderates this world kingdom which you see by her changing seasons. Clear weather follows cloudy. After a calm comes the storm. The winds blow by turns. Day succeeds night. Some of the heavenly bodies rise and some set. Eternity consists of opposites. It is to this law that our souls must adjust themselves. This they should follow, this they should obey. Whatever happens, assume that it was bound to happen, and do not be willing to rail at nature. That which you cannot reform, it is best to endure, and to attend uncomplainingly upon the God under whose guidance everything progresses. For it is a bad soldier who grumbles when following his commander. For this reason, we should welcome our orders with energy and vigor, nor should we cease to follow the natural course of this most beautiful universe, into which all our future sufferings are woven. Let us address Jupiter, the pilot of this world mass, as did our great Cleanthes in these most eloquent lines. Lines which I shall allow myself to render in Latin, after the example of the eloquent Cicero. If you like them, make the most of them. If they displease you, you will understand that I have simply been following the practice of Cicero. Lead me, O Master of the lofty heavens, my Father, whithersoever thou shalt wish. I shall not falter, but obey with speed. And though I would not go, I shall go and suffer in sin and sorrow what I might have done in noble virtue. I, the willing soul, fate leads, but the unwilling drags along. Let us live thus and speak thus. Let fate find us ready and alert. Here is your great soul, the man who has given himself over to fate. On the other hand, that man is a weakling and a degenerate who struggles and maligns the order of the universe and would rather reform the gods than reform himself. Farewell. Letter 108 On the Approaches to Philosophy. The topic about which you ask me is one of those where our only concern with knowledge is to have the knowledge. Nevertheless, because it does so far concern us, you are in a hurry. You are not willing to wait for the books which I am at this moment arranging for you, and which embrace the whole department of moral philosophy. I shall send you the books at once, but I shall, before doing that, write and tell you how this eagerness to learn, with which I see you are aflame, should be regulated so that it may not get in its own way. Things are not to be gathered at random, nor should they be greedily attacked in the mass. One will arrive at a knowledge of the whole by studying the parts. The burden should be suited to your strength, nor should you tackle more than you can adequately handle. Absorb not all that you wish, but all that you can hold. Only be of a sound mind, and then you will be able to hold all that you wish. For the more the mind receives, the more does it expand. This was the advice, I remember, which Attalus gave me in the days when I practically laid siege to his classroom, the first to arrive and the last to leave. Even as he paced up and down, I would challenge him to various discussions, for he not only kept himself accessible to his pupils, but met them halfway. His words were, "The same purpose should possess both master and scholar, an ambition in the one case to promote, and in the other to progress." He who studies with a philosopher should take away with him some one good thing every day. He should daily return home a sounder man, or on the way to become sounder. And he will thus return, for it is one of the functions of philosophy to help not only those who study her, but those also who associate with her. He that walks in the sun, though he walk not for that purpose, must needs become sunburned. He who frequents the perfumer's shop and lingers even for a short time will carry with him the scent of the place. And he who follows a philosopher is bound to derive some benefit therefrom, which will help